You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12s. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Happy Blue Friday, the first Blue Friday of the regular season. So much to talk about with this Seahawks-Falcons matchup coming up. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action for every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. We are officially 48 hours away from the Seahawks kicking off their 2020 regular season against the Falcons in Atlanta, two teams that are very familiar with each other. The coaching staff's very familiar with each other. Dan Quinn used to be the Seahawks defensive coordinator, now the head coach for Atlanta. Matt Ryan versus Russell Wilson. We've seen countless matchups between those two great quarterbacks. Something that I kind of want to touch on here, because this is such a unique season. And in last night's game, there were several rookies that played really well for the Chiefs and the Texans. Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU looked fantastic for the Chiefs out of the backfield. Their rookie running back that they used a first-round pick, just what the Chiefs needed, another weapon on their offense. But I was wondering, and you and I can kind of kick some ideas around here a little bit, in particular for the Seahawks, they've got such great veteran leaders that I don't know this is necessarily going to be an issue. And Kansas City's got the same thing going on. They've got some really good veteran leaders on their roster. That's certainly going to help rookies along when they make their debuts. But we've had no preseason games this year. And so they haven't even had a chance. None of these players that have never been on an NFL game field against opponents, they've never played anybody but their own teammates, they've never had a chance to even get the jitters out in a preseason game. That is one of the realities of being a rookie making your debut this year. So guys like Alton Robinson that are fifth rounders that are going to have a significant role in week one, because Daryl Taylor's not there to play for at least 6 weeks and he's looked good in camp, he's earned those reps. You got to wonder, is this going to be a situation where the stage ends up being a little bit too bright for these guys?
Well, I was kind of wondering that too until I watched the Texans-Chiefs game. I know each case is a little different, but and we're not going to be counting on, you know, DJ Dallas to carry the ball 15 times for 100 yards like Edwards-Helaire has done for the Chiefs Thursday. But it's going to be it's a different situation as well, because there's no fans. I think that with the Chiefs there, I don't know the exact number of fans that were there, but it was a decent amount. And that's organic juice being pumped into the building, and so the adrenaline's going to be flowing. With it in Atlanta, I think it's going to be a little different. And also, I think the roles are a bit different. You're not asking your starting running back, or heck, a starting quarterback, you're not asking a player of that position to really contribute right away. I think the biggest one, like you mentioned, is Alton Robinson. And for him, how much has he had to go full bore against the other tackles in practice for the Seahawks, and how much is he game ready? Because we hear all the time, neither of us played in the NFL, but we hear all the time about how the speed of the game is just straight up different, especially from college to the NFL, but even preseason to regular season, practice to the regular season. It's just a different speed. So how caught up will Alton Robinson be, especially because I think we can all can agree right off the bat, I think the Seahawks are going to be counting on Damian Lewis and Alton Robinson the most of the rookies right off the bat. I know eventually DJ Dallas will work himself in there, Jordan Brooks will work himself in there, and other guys as well. But those two guys especially, how much will the lack of preseason impact them on the field? And luckily the Seahawks aren't relying on them. It's not a life or death situation with them in a pivotal position, but I'm going to go ahead and say that there's going to be some growing pains. There it might not be, false starts. Hopefully won't be an issue, because it's not going to be deafening, because Atlanta can get pretty loud. Yeah, it's really tough to say. It's one of those things where every case is going to be different, and it's going to be it's just hard to predict with such a weird, just unprecedented season. It's just going to be really, really, really hard to gauge. But I think once the bullets start flying, you get popped a couple times, I think both of them counting Damian Lewis and Alton Robinson. I think both of them will settle down. They'll rely on what they've been taught. They've got good coaches, like you mentioned, good leaders. You're going to have Bobby Wagner and Alton Robinson's ear. You're going to have, you know, Dwayne Brown and those guys and Damian Lewis's ear. And I think after a couple good pops, they'll settle down and they'll be just fine.
Yeah, you got to wonder about the jitters, but I do think that with the veterans they've got on this team, I actually asked Bruce Irvin about this yesterday in a Zoom press conference, and I wanted him to reflect on when he made his debut, which, crazy enough, it's now been 9 years since Bruce Irvin played in his first NFL game, and he actually asked us, who did we play that day? So he didn't remember much about that game. He did remember the uniforms they were wearing. Apparently, he has photogenic memory. We were asking him a bunch of different questions about different games, and he's like, oh, yeah, we had blue pants and blue jerseys that game, but he didn't remember anything from that season opener. However, he did remember his mindset coming into that game, and I asked him, what would you advise Alton Robinson going into this first game, especially when you haven't had any preseason games to get on the field playing against other teams? And he made it very simple. I'd tell him, look, you're probably going to get 20 reps, 25 reps at most. Make the most of those. All it takes is one to get a sack. And so basically play hard every single snap, play fast. Don't let the situation consume you being under the lights, playing in your first NFL game. And certainly it's going to be a lot different, as you mentioned, not having fans there. That's part of the adrenaline, just having a recording playing the entire game. Maybe that's going to help the rookies in this case, that it's not going to be a typical regular season opener where you've got 60, 70,000 fans cheering you on, and that adrenaline ends up making you press a little bit. Maybe that doesn't happen this season, but having a guy like Bruce Irvin that's going to be in Alton Robinson's ear, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, they've talked the last couple of days about Jordan Brooks. Look, we don't want you to take our job. We're the best in the business in our position group. We're not letting you take our job, but we're going to do everything we can to help you be successful because it's bigger than football. So again, those type of leaders out there, Pete Carroll on the sideline, rest of his coaching staff, I'm at this point believing that the rookies are going to be fine. Maybe the beginning of the game is going to be a little bit challenging for them because every rookie, as I said, has those jitters. But I would hedge bets here that these rookies are going to be able to step in. They drafted experienced guys that had a lot of plays under their belt in the college level, played top competition. They're not going to be starstruck going into
Damian Lewis is used to a really rabid environment. He kind of played at LSU.
And he played with the best team in the country against the best teams in the country in the SEC. Alton Robinson played against some really good competition in the ACC. And so Jordan Brooks in the Big 12 played plenty of amazing quarterbacks in the Big 12 playing for Texas Tech. So, again, all these rookies, it's going to be a unique moment. And how they handle that early, Pete Carroll said that earlier this week, you know, we're going to do everything as staff we can to make sure that they're able to make that right transition when they get out in the field and they've had a few plays under their belt. Like you said, when they start popping, I think these guys are going to be okay. I don't think that the limelight is going to be too big for most of these rookies that are going to have a significant role in this game. Coming up next in the second quarter, we're getting really close to this first game. Kickoff is basically 5 minutes away in Atlanta. So we're going to start looking at keys to the game. What do the Seahawks have to do to start the season 1-0 and defeat the Falcons at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium? We'll start on the offensive side of the football when we return. You're listening to Locked On Seahawks Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Once again, it's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me for our first Blue Friday episode of the regular season, my co-host, Nick Lee. 48 hours until kickoff between the Seahawks and Falcons, kicking off the regular season here in 2020. A unique, unprecedented season. Really good football last night between the Chiefs and Texans. Hopefully the Seahawks and Falcons will be able to follow suit, and we will have a really good first game, even without preseason contests. Let's start on the offensive side of the football here for the Seahawks. Keys to the game. What do they need to do to win this game against the Atlanta Falcons? Before we get there, let's dive into the numbers a little bit. Rough start at 1-7. Finished off red hot, though. Won 6 of their last 8 games. They beat the 49ers and Saints. Pulled off 2 big upsets. And they showed they still have the talent to compete against the best teams in the league. On the defensive side of the football, first stat that really jumped out to me, the Seahawks had a handful of 40-plus yard rushes last year. You don't see a lot of runs that are 40 yards or more in the NFL, but the Falcons were one of just 3 teams in the league that didn't give up a single one last year, Steelers and Raiders also being in that category. They were in the middle of the pack in most rushing categories, but I don't think their run defense was one of the bigger things that held this football team back last year.
No, they certainly had other things to – bigger fish to fry, and another – number is 10 fumbles generated on opposing running plays, ranking 2nd in the NFL. So they might have been middle of the pack as far as allowing rushing yards, but they were certainly opportunistic when creating turnovers. 10 fumbles generated on those running plays. So certainly with this is an interesting situation now with, you know, one Chris Carson who has had fumble issues. That's probably the one knock in Chris Carson's game is he can't hold on to the football consistently. And all of a sudden the Falcons are a really good team for forcing fumbles on the run. That could be an interesting storyline. They're 2nd in the NFL last year. So I think that's something certainly to watch, and hopefully Chris Carson's, that's really been his bugaboo. And if he can clean that up, he's a Pro Bowl running back.
Ball security issues are going to be something to watch for both teams in this game, because if you are in the coaching tree for Pete Carroll, which Dan Quinn is from, that is going to be the number one thing preached. We want to create turnovers. We want to get quick turnovers, get the football back to our offense, and let them go score points. And that's something that Atlanta, even in their struggles last year, especially against the run game, they found ways to force the football out. Now, I don't have the number in front of me how many of those they recovered, but they are opportunistic. They will be looking to get the football on the ground. Seattle's got some running backs that have had some issues doing that. Where the Falcons really had issues last year, this might sound familiar to Seahawks fans, but they just could not pressure the quarterback. Last year, 18.4% of dropbacks were a pressure, which was the 3rd lowest rate in the NFL. The Seahawks actually had a slightly higher pressure rate than the Falcons did, and both teams finished with 28 sacks, which was tied for the 2nd lowest total in the NFL. And so both of these teams that are known for having really solid defenses, especially the Seahawks, that is an area both these teams are looking to improve upon this next season.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks have done more to address it than the Falcons have. I know the Falcons got Dante Fowler Jr., but I think the Seahawks got a lot of more quantity out of there. So it comes down to the first point that we're going to make is protecting Russell Wilson, because that pressure percentage, that just like the Seahawks are, the Falcons are going to be very anxious to put those bad pass rushing numbers behind them. And I think they're going to want to make a statement in that first game. Another one that maybe is a testament to how solid the defense actually was for most of the season. 95 missed tackles by Atlanta's defense was actually the 6th best mark in the entire league in 2019. So again, they didn't put up some big sexy numbers, but they got turnovers and they didn't miss tackles. So if you create turnovers and don't miss a lot of tackles, you're going to find yourself hanging around in a lot of ball games.
The Falcons were such a strange team last year because they didn't miss a lot of tackles, but they finished with the fifth worst total for yards surrendered after the catch. So they were getting – a lot of receivers were getting separation, and they had a bunch of yardage in front of them. So it couldn't have been missed tackles. That was not an area where they were really poor last season, but receivers were just running wild against that secondary last year. And so I think that's a perfect segue into our keys to the game here. They gave up almost 2,100 yards after the catch last season as a defense. They've got a rookie corner in A.J. Terrell who's going to be making his NFL debut. First-round pick with a ton of talent, but what a draw that he gets to start his NFL career. Hey, Mr. Terrell, you get to defend DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, one of the best duos in the NFL, and you get to play against them in your first game. So this, to me, is the first key here, and this is assuming that Russell Wilson is protected. They're talking this offensive lineup with three new starters. They're going to get their first opportunity to show that the coaching staff is correct here, and this offensive line is ahead of schedule with all those new pieces there. They've got to keep Wilson upright. If they can do that, this is a game where you got to get your shots downfield to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and maybe even Philip Dorsett. You've got three really athletic receivers that are vertical threats against a Falcons secondary with a couple of young pups in there. A.J. Terrell, Isaiah Oliver struggled a lot last year in his first season out of Colorado. They're big body corners that fit what Dan Quinn wants, but inexperienced. You take advantage of that with the best quarterback throwing downfield in the NFL and Russell Wilson with those two or three elite deep threats on the outside.
Yeah, this is a good matchup for the Seahawks to kind of maybe work out some kinks on the offensive line because you really aren't facing those premier pass rushers, the Khalil Macks, the Von Millers, and those guys. I mean, they'll probably be pretty improved from last year, but you got Tack McKinley. Grady Jarrett, I think, will be the bigger problem, 7.5 sacks last year.
To me, Fowler's the biggest thing.
Fowler is the biggest one, for sure, yeah. And so if you can contain Fowler, that's probably the biggest wild card for them is what they can get out of Dante Fowler. He had some good seasons. He had 11.5 sacks for the Rams last year, kind of been bouncing around a little bit, started with the Jaguars, and really broke out last year. So if they can contain Dante Fowler, protect Russell Wilson, and then, that, yes, like you mentioned, allow him to take the shots downfield. But, Corbin, we were talking about the Seahawks here. And they're going to run the football.
And they need to.
They need to. And like we mentioned, the Atlanta Falcons are an average team stopping the run. So if you can establish a run game, that will just open up everything else. I know that the analytical pundits will pound the table and hit their head against whatever they're listening to here, but you can't get complacent with the run game. You got to pound the ball. You got to establish and impose your will on this defense. And yeah, the crowd won't be much of a factor. I don't know how much they're going to pipe in. It can't be, I don't imagine it'd be as loud as it would be if it was a sold out stadium, but that also helps mitigate that. And I think for just having played football, having coached football with uncertainty about what the game's going to look like, no preseason, running the football is a good way to kind of get the jitters out and a good way to kind of get some rhythm. You're not taking those. You're not throwing shots downfield. That'll be risky at the start of the game. You definitely want to work yourself into those. But just easing yourself into the game, easing yourself into a COVID season, which it is, running the ball and running it off and running it well will do wonders for the Seahawks offense.
It's a new year, so you don't want to put too much stock. What happened last year happened last year. The Falcons are going to be much improved on defense, just bringing back Keanu Neal and some of the rookies that they brought in. Dante Fowler coming off the edge. I think they're going to have to chip against him a little bit with a tight end because he gave them fits with the Rams last year. He had 1.5 sacks when the Seahawks lost to the Rams in week 14 last season. So you're going to have to monitor that situation. But I agree with you on the ground. To me, you want to make Dante Fowler one-dimensional. He's not a great run defender, so run at him. And this team last year had a lot of success in the first half when they built a 24-0 lead by running the football. And you mentioned this first game. Pete Carroll was asked about this earlier this week. He's not worried about Seattle's tackling. Maybe he should be. There hasn't been any preseason games. They haven't had a ton of live tackling.
Stumpy Navy.
Yeah. If you watch some of these games, then, you know, I will say that for last night, the tackling wasn't horrible with the Texans and Chiefs. And it was a pretty well-played game. But looking at the Seahawks in this game and the Atlanta Falcons with the people they've got on defense and not having preseason games, I think the run game can be especially overbearing when you're playing your first game, you haven't been tackling, you've got to tackle Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde a bunch of times. that is going to get really frustrating after a while. And even the Chiefs last night, they were giving it to their rookie, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, early and often. The Chiefs are known for throwing the ball over the yard, and they were running the ball because they were having success, and the other team was having some issues getting the running back to the ground. So I'm with you. I think that run game, I'm not saying you go out and go run, run, pass, because that has gotten old. You got to let Russell Wilson do what he does and throw the football, but they've got to be able to establish that ground game, and I think you get the play action working off. I know analytics doesn't say they're related, but if you've played the game and you've rushed the passer, I can tell you right now, I'm not taking a play fake seriously if you haven't ran the ball well against me. And you talk to NFL players, they'll say the same thing. Dante Fowler, I guarantee he'll tell you, if the other team has no threat of a ground game, I'm just pinning my ears back. I'm going for the quarterback. If you get Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde going, maybe DJ Dallas a little bit, that is going to make it a little bit more difficult for those defensive ends to pin their ears back, get that ground game going, the play action off of it. That's where those deep passes are going to come in that Russell Wilson is so darn good at completing. And so protect him, take those deep shots when they're there, because I think the matchups are there for the Seahawks to have success, and get those matchups where you want them by running the football and getting that play action game going. And again, you mentioned it, don't fumble the football either. That is a big one in this game. On the road, I don't care if there's fans there or not. You put the ball on the ground, you turn the ball over, your chances of winning go down tremendously. When we come back in the third quarter, going to flip over to the Seahawks defense against the high-flying Falcons offense. What does Seattle's defense need to do to get the victory in Atlanta? We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Blue Friday edition, the first one of the regular season. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, joined by Nick Lee, continuing to dissect this upcoming matchup between the Seahawks and Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Last year, the Seahawks held the Falcons without Matt Ryan, I may add. That's a big disclaimer here, to 0 points. They shut them out in the first half. Then in the second half, the Falcons mounted a comeback, and they cut it down to a one-score game. Matt Schaub threw for 1 million yards in the second half and did score a lot of points off of it, but it was a letdown. The Seahawks really took their foot off the pedal, and it was something that Pete Carroll, even talking earlier this week, was looking back on, like, we just got complacent, and they can't afford to do that in this game. And looking at the Atlanta Falcons, we went inside the numbers on their defense, on offense. One thing that this team still does extremely well with Matt Ryan at the controls, they will pick up big chunks of yardage. When you've got Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley as your main receivers, they had Austin Hooper as their tight end last year. They like Hayden Hurst as his replacement this season. They've got the weapons to pick up big chunks of yardage in the passing game, and they finished second behind only the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year with 3,126 completed air yards.
Yeah, Matt Ryan knows how to throw the ball. He's former MVP, and I believe I want to say he's got nine straight 4,000-plus yard passing seasons. So the Falcons can certainly do one thing well, and that's pass the football. And Matt Ryan, one of the better ones to do it in this generation, and still I think a little bit underrated. And I think that's because they haven't got to the Super Bowl. And then, of course, I think he's also underrated because of the unfortunate events that happened during the Super Bowl. But he's always been a solid quarterback, and I don't see a huge drop-off for him. What's interesting, though, is the next number, 14, which is the number of interceptions thrown by Matt Ryan, his highest total since 2015. So he did start turning the ball over a little bit more. His career high is at 17 in 2013. So there will be opportunities to intercept Matt Ryan. That's never been his fear. What I do like about Matt Ryan is that he's willing to make those tough throws, and sometimes he gets burned. Unlike Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't want to ruin his precious little touchdown to interception ratio, Matt Ryan's a bit more fearless, and which I respect. But also, the Seahawks should be salivating, especially with one Jamal Adams back there. So yes, they can get yards and chunks in the air. They have uber talented receivers, but there is an opportunity to be had. To just like with the Falcons can create turnovers in the run game on defense, I think the Seahawks, especially with some new look pieces and a full year of Quandre Diggs, Shaquille Griffin coming off of a Pro Bowl season, Quentin Dunbar, a very solid corner opposite him, I think that there will be some opportunities to create some turnovers themselves.
Matt Ryan will try to squeeze the football into coverage sometimes, and at this stage of his career, he was never – not that he's had a bad arm, but he's never had a rocket arm. He's been a very accurate quarterback, a very cerebral one that makes good decisions, but he will occasionally try to force the football into coverage. Sometimes it works out for him, sometimes it doesn't, and that was an issue that he dealt with at times last year, throwing those picks. So if the Seahawks can bait him into some of those throws, Matt Ryan will take those chances, and sometimes he will burn you, especially with the receivers he has, but certainly there will be opportunities presented, especially if you can get pressure on him. And this next number really surprised me, because you look at the receivers that the Falcons have with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. They finished with 3.5 yards after catch produced by the receivers. That was the second lowest total in the NFL last year. Granted, still had a lot of chunk yardage plays, but that is something to consider here, especially when there are question marks behind those top two receivers. Who's going to be the next in line for Matt Ryan? Which receiver is going to emerge? Is it Russell Gage? Is it Christian Blake? I mean, they have a lot of players that are unproven there that are going to be competing for the third and fourth receiver spot here in Atlanta. This team does not drop passes. 2.5% of targets were dropped last year, the lowest mark among receivers. So they might not create after the catch as much as some teams, but very sure-handed. And you know that's going to be the case with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, like I mentioned in an article I wrote, I really hope DK Metcalf models himself after Julio Jones, because I think if DK Metcalf's going to take that next step, he led the team with 7 drops last year, and I think Julio Jones is a great example of what your career can do if you have that same physical tools and you don't drop the football. He's one of the best to ever do it, in my opinion. Really should be. I think if he retired today, he'd be in Canton in a few years. Just really, really good receiver, and been one of the better ones in this of the decade and of all time, not just in the decade, and just a sure-handed receiver. So yes, the no yards after the catch. So yeah, Seahawks are probably going to give up some catches here and there. And this, I know people lose their minds when the Seahawks get a little nickel and dimed with that defense, but it looks like the Seahawks are going to be able to avoid the home run. I think that's what we're asking for here, especially with the offense the Seahawks should have, and especially facing a defense where they should get theirs. Just avoid the home runs, which I think this is a good recipe for doing that, especially when you have Jamal Adams back there. Avoid those big hits, avoid those misunderstandings and those miscommunications. And I'm really confident in this secondary that they'll avoid those big miscommunications, that avoid those big plays. And last, say that the total rushing yards by the Falcons, 1,361, which is the third lowest in the league ahead of the Dolphins and the Jets. So they really struggled running the ball. But I think the main factor here, Corbin, is they have Todd Gurley now. Now, I know that as soon as I bring up Todd Gurley, there's going to be people like, well, he's not the same guy. He's hurt. He faded off really fast against the Rams. But, you know, this is still Todd Gurley. This is still a former NFC Offensive Player of the Year. So this is not just a guy that we can dismiss just because he hasn't been in this him same self. If maybe a change of scenery will do it for him playing inside, I think all those factors will factor into him having a bounce back year with the Falcons. And I don't think they need to rely on him as heavily as the Rams did. So having Todd Gurley in the conversation, I think will improve this. I'm not going to say they're going to be a fierce rushing attack, but I don't see them being one of the worst rushing teams in the league with Todd Gurley at the helm.
And I have this down as one of my big keys to the game. We talked about the tackling issue for the Falcons defense when you have to deal with Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde. Todd Gurley has always been a Seahawks killer. And even last year, that win in week 14 for the Rams, he scored a touchdown, stiff arm Trey Flowers on that play, had a couple other really big explosive runs. And so you look at his ability to catch the football out of the backfield as well. He can run between the tackles. He might not be the Todd Gurley he was a couple years ago, but I still think he's got plenty of juice. And this is an offense where, as you mentioned, he doesn't have to be the focal point. They've got Julio Jones. They've got Calvin Ridley. Maybe Hayden Hurst is going to end up breaking out this year for them as their tight end, replacing Austin Hooper. So they've got weapons around him. He can be more of a complementary piece out of the backfield, and Dirk Cotter is going to find ways to get the football into his hands. So tackling has to be on point for the Seahawks. When Todd Gurley has the football, they've got to get him down to the ground. You can't let him pick up big chunks of yardage, especially in the receiving game where he really has given them fits in the past. And we're talking about these other receivers that they've got. This is the other big point that I want to make here. Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Ridley last year had the highest DVOA of any NFL receiver, according to Football Outsiders. So he had a fantastic second season for Atlanta before he ended the season banged up. Had an outstanding year. You've got those two players. This feels like a game to me. You know Julio Jones is going to get his catches. You know Calvin Ridley's going to get them. Listeners are going to hate that I'm bringing this back up because we talked about it too many games last year, in my opinion. But I think this is a game you got to rope-a-dope the Falcons. You mentioned that dink-and-dunk offense. I'm eliminating those big plays. Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley going to get their catches. Force other people to beat you, including Todd Gurley. Force those other guys that are your third, fourth, fifth options to beat you. Don't let Julio Jones burn you downfield, and don't let Calvin Ridley do the same. I think if you can do that, you can keep guys in front of you. This is a very aggressive defense the Seahawks have. You've added Jamal Adams. I anticipate if you're able to do that, that you're giving yourself more chances to be able to force Matt Ryan into some tough throws, and maybe you can create some turnovers.
Yeah. Julio Jones averages about 100 yards a game against the Seahawks, and you really are hoping the Seahawks kind of, quote, Belichick this, where Belichick is maybe the best of all time at taking away your best weapon and making you beat him other ways. And now some teams can. Other teams can't. I'm not sure the Falcons have the depth to beat the Seahawks if the Seahawks can somehow bottle up their top two receivers in Jones and Ridley. Because if the Seahawks just have to worry about Todd Gurley in this offense, I think they're doing okay. If they somehow, again, bottle up Julio Jones as, you know, three catches for 50 yards or something, that would be okay.
I would take
me.
5 for 75,
yeah,
to be honest.
Exactly,
with you.
Yeah. So it's more of a slow down, not stop kind of situation. But if you can somehow take those guys away, and I think part of that comes to the next point, is the pass rush. Pass rush, you know, Bueller, anybody? Does anyone want to rush the passer? I think this is going to be a good opportunity for the Seahawks to find out just what they have in the pass rush, because the Falcons have a pretty decent offensive line, but I don't think they don't strike fear into me. And they have some solid guys, you know, Jake Matthews is a guy that comes to mind. And this is going to be an opportunity for the Seahawks to find out what they have with the pass rush, just like how the Falcons are eager to put a very poor 2019 season pass rushing behind them. The Seahawks, same exact thing. And I think with the guys they have up front, the Benson Maioa, Bruce Irvin, you know, Jaron Reed, Puna Ford, those guys are going to, I think, get after it. And I'm hoping that Matt Ryan has a dirty jersey at the end of the game, or as dirty as they can on turf indoors. But
he needs a ripped jersey in this.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what you get on turf. You don't get mud. You get ripped jerseys.
Yeah. Spitting out those pellets from the turf, that kind of thing. But really the pass rush really will kind of set the tone, just like how the run game will. This is basic football. You run the ball, you get a pass rush, things will fall into place, and you have a really good chance of winning if you do those things.
And I think with what I said earlier, and, you know, some people will listen to the show and be like, you talk about the pass rush every single show. It's critical a lot of the time. I think when you're looking at a game like this where you really want to try to prevent Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley from burning you, the more time that Matt Ryan has to throw the football, I don't care how good your secondary is, those guys are going to get open, and Matt Ryan is going to capitalize. And so, to me, not just the pass rush in general, it's the edge rushers to me. In the past, the player that always had so much success against the Atlanta Falcons was Cliff Averill at that Leo spot. This is a great first opportunity for Benson Maioa to show he's a 28-year-old coming off a career high in sacks. He can prove I am worthy of being a starter at this Leo spot, and I am still an ascending player that maybe has a chance to get 9 or 10 sacks this year. He can get off to a hot start here. If there's a type of player that can give the two tackles for the Falcons, Jake Matthews on the left side and Caleb McGarry on the right side, if there's a type of player that's going to cause him problems, it's a twitchy athlete that can pin his ears back and has the flexibility to quickly turn the corner, dip his shoulder. Benson Maioa can do that. And so I think he is one of the big X factors here. And maybe a guy like Alton Robinson with a few snaps that he's going to get, he has the ability to rush with power and speed now at 270-plus pounds. He might be a guy to keep an eye on, too. If they can get some pass rush from the interior, that's certainly going to help. But I think the edge rushers have to be on their A game here to force Matt Ryan to get that football out. Don't let Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley have time to operate, get downfield, and get open, because they are going to if Matt Ryan has time in the pocket.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like I mentioned, the pass rush will play into not allowing them to beat you, because the more time Julio Jones has to analyze the defense and get open for, can you imagine the connection that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones have by now? Don't you think that they're in each other's heads, that they know each other, what each other's thinking, they can finish each other's sentences?
It's psychic football.
It's psychic football. You're right. With much like Wilson, I think it's even more than Wilson Lockett, because they've just been part of the league for so much longer. And I think that they have one of the better mental connections in all of football. So if you don't want that to start up clicking really good, you get it after the passer and you put Matt Ryan on his back.
Make sure to follow me on Twitter at CorbinSmithNFL. You can follow Nick at NickLee51. You can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is, by going to our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. When we return on Monday, we're going to be breaking down what hopefully ends up being a Seahawks season-opening win over the Falcons. We're going to look at some offensive and defensive observations, and of course, our weekly Monday mailbag. Enjoy all the NFL action this weekend. Hopefully the Seahawks can get the win. Go Hawks!